Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Davis, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Seventh Parent Congregation of the 12th Hour in Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is November 16, 2016, our sister 17, 2020. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, Each Step I Take. Each step I take, my Savior goes before me, and with His loving hand He leads the way. And with each breath I whisper, I adore Thee. Oh, what joy to walk with Him each day. Each step I take, I know that He will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me home, until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. At times I feel my faith began to waver, when up ahead I see a chasm wide. If then I turn and look up to my Savior, I am strong when He is by my side. Each step I take, I know that He will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me home, until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. I trust in Yah, no matter come what may, for life eternal is in His hand. He holds a key and opens up the way that will lead me to the promised land. Each step I take, I know that He will guide me to higher ground. He ever leads me home, until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. Part 3 of Cyrus the Great. Okay, we're going to continue our study. And we're going to turn to Daniel 10, and we're going to see what we have here in Daniel 10, and then we're going to go into Wikipedia again on the computer, and we're going to just read another commentary on Cyrus the Great, of King of Kings. But here in Daniel chapter 10, it says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name is called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing, and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of ephod, his body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone, and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees, and upon the palms of my hands, and he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy Elohim, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my master, by the vision, my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my master talk with this my master? For as for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, the strong, yea, the strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my master speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee, and now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia? And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come, but I will show thee that which is noted in the scriptures of the truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things, but Michael your prince. Okay, that is the end of chapter 10. Now let's go on into chapter 11. It says, Also, I in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. Now, you know, Cyrus and Darius were co-leaders of the two Iranian tribes of the Medes and the Persians. It was two tribes of the Iranian. And Cyrus connected the two tribes together. Darius was from one tribe, and Cyrus overthrew both tribes. He conquered both tribes and put them together, which becomes Iran today. So, Darius came from one of the tribes of the Iranian tribes. He was a descendant of a sect of the Jews. That's another thing you have to understand. Cyrus was a barbarian. He was born a barbarian, a heathen. He had no really a pedigree that you could go by. He was like Isaiah. I mean, he was like Elijah. Elijah came from Gilead. He had no pedigree. In other words, they don't know where his foundation or his origin was from. Other than he bore Yahweh's two parts of Yahweh's name, Eliyahu in the Hebrew, meaning Eliah, which is one of the names of the Heavenly Father, and Eliyahu is another name. Put the two together, and he gave that to Elijah, which is translated as Elijah today in the English transliteration from the Hebrew. But Yahweh just gave his servant his name. And nobody knew who he really was or where he came from, other than he came from Gilead, and he had no pedigree that you could connect him to. The line of David, or the line of Moses, or Aaron, or Isaac, or Abraham. But he was definitely a Hebrew. All right? Let's go on. Daniel chapter 11. Also, I in the first year of Darius the Mede. Now, Darius took over and became king of Babylon. He took over from Cyrus. Cyrus, when he conquered Babylon that night of Belshazzar, he took over and took over the kingship of Babylon. And then when Cyrus came along and assumed the throne of Cyrus, when Darius came along, Darius was with him at with his conquest over Babylon. Darius was his general, his number one general leading his army. And so when it came time for Darius to come forth and take the kingship, then he became the king of Babylon. Now keep that in mind. So Donald Trump is antitypical Cyrus today. And if anything was to happen to him and he's taken out of the way, then he's got his antitypical Darius in the form of Mike Pence that will automatically take over the kingship, the king of Babylon. So Donald Trump is a new king of Babylon today, modern day Babylon. He overthrew the old king, antitypical Belshazzar. Obama has been overthrown. Because Obama thought to keep his kingdom going with the election of Hillary Clinton. That would keep the Obama kingdom going. But that was not to be. The new king has come in. So let's go ahead now. In Daniel 11, verse 1, also I in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. Now we got the conflict between the kings, the two kings. What kings? The king of the north and the king of the south. Now the king of the north is the Pope today and the Catholic Church. The king of the south is Obama and the Muslim religion, the Quran. So you have a competition now between two religions, two ideologies, two cultures. And the book that represents the Catholic Church is called the Catholic Catechism. That's the king of the north, that's his book, the Catechism. The king of the south, his textbook is the Quran. And that's their Bible. The Catholic Church, the Catechism, is their church manual describing what their religion stands for and all the working parts of it. The Quran represents, it's the church manual more or less, and the Bible for the Muslim religion. And it belongs to that's the textbook of the King of the South, the Arabs, the Muslims. But the Catechism is a textbook for the King of the North that describes what he stands for in all detail. So now this is what I'm reading about now. So there's a conflict between these two kings coming up here in the end time, and the conflict, and you've got an outsider now that is coming on the scene that's going to burst the bubble of both of these kings and going to overthrow both of these kings. And I'm going to read about it to you right here in Daniel 11. I'm going to read it to you. And now, will I show thee the truth? Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all. And by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all against the realm of Grecia. And a mighty king shall stand up that shall rule with great dominion and do according unto his will. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken, and shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven, and not unto his posterity, nor according unto his dominion, which he ruled. For his kingdom shall be plucked up even for, F-O-R, others, beside those. And I'm going to change that preposition for, because when I read that, people think I'm saying the numeral for. But I'm not. But that's the way it sounds. And I'm going to change that to another preposition so you'll know that that's not what it means. That it means four different kingdoms. I'm going to change that and I'm going to the preposition with. And it's for a good reason. You're going to see this. For his kingdom shall be plucked up even with others beside those. Okay. And the king of the south shall be strong, and one of his princes, and he shall be strong above him, and have dominion. His dominion shall be a great dominion. Now this is your Muslims in the last day. This is your Quran. This is the king of the south. And in the end of the years, they shall join themselves together. Okay. For the king's daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north to make an agreement. But she shall not retain the power of the arm. Neither shall he stand, nor his arm. But she shall be given up, and they that have brought her, and he that begat her, and he that strengthened her in these times. But out of the branch of her roots shall one stand up in his estate, which shall come with an army, and shall enter into the fortress of the king of the north. Okay, here's this king of the south. He's sending a new branch of his arm, that he has created a military might, and he's going to enter into the fortress of the king of the north. He's going to, in other words, invade the Catholic Church dominion in these last days, and shall deal against them and shall prevail. The Pope came over here years ago, Pope Paul, and then Pope Francis here this last couple of years. And they kissed the tarmac and they said, we are the owners of the United States, and we're going to plant our palace, and we're going to put our representative right here in the White House here. And that was Joe Biden. He's a Jesuit general. I mean, he's a Jesuit Catholic, and he's a mouthpiece for Obama, the Muslim. And so the Catholic Church says, even though we got a Muslim that's represented by the Quran, his Quran, we have the Vice President Joe Biden as his mouthpiece, and he gets his orders from the Vatican. And so therefore, that's how this King of the South has been invaded into the North. In other words, Obama, the King of the South, come out on top. He became the President, and the King of the North became the Vice President. The two are working together here now in the White House. Now keep this in mind. Obama, the King of the South, is the President of the United States, and the King of the North has his representative, Joe Biden, as the Vice President. But the Vice President is the one that's wielding the power, and the President of the United States is only like a parrot. He's just parroting whatever his commanders behind the scenes are telling him to parrot every day. So the power behind him is the King of the North. Okay, when this alliance is finally broken, and I'm going to read it to you, it's going to be broken right here in this chapter that I'm reading to you. And shall also carry captives into Egypt their gods with their princes and with their precious vessels of silver and of gold, and he shall continue more years than the King of the North. So the king of the south shall come into his kingdom and shall return into his own land. But his son shall be stirred up and shall assemble a multitude of great forces. And one shall certainly come and overflow and pass through. Then shall he return and be stirred up even to his fortress. And the king of the south, the Muslim, the Arab, the Palestinian, be moved with choler, and shall come forth and fight with him, even with the king of the north. Now keep in mind that Cyrus, Antipas Cyrus, Donald Trump, represents a king out of the north that has come. And that's in another prophecy in Ezekiel and other places about this king coming out of the north. Donald Trump was born in New York, which is far north in the United States. He is north, and Ironically enough, Washington, D.C. is south of New York. So we have a north and a south right there on the east coast that are vying for the power and the supremacy here of the United States. And so far, now the king of the north has prevailed, this invading king of the north, which is antithetical Charles Donald Trump. Now watch this. And he shall set forth a great multitude. Let's read verse 11 again, Daniel chapter 11. And the king of the south shall be moved with terror, and shall come forth and fight with him, even with the king of the north. And he shall set forth a great multitude, but the multitude shall be given into his hand. And when he hath taken away the multitude, his heart shall be lifted up, and he shall cast down many 10,000, but he shall not be strengthened by it. This is Obama. He's taken over and subdued the king of the north temporarily. He is the king of Babylon. But I just read it to you. And when he hath taken away the multitude, his heart shall be lifted up. This is what happened. Obama taking over the presidency. He made executive order, laws, and so forth to rule his kingdom, to utterly take away millions of Americans. And that is through legislation of the stroke of the pen. Okay? And so he's done this, but he says, and he shall cast down many, 10,000, but he shall not be strengthened by it, for the king of the north shall return. Now this is not only the Catholic Church, they're going to rise in strength again because they got control of the powers, the reins of powers here at Washington, D.C. with their vice president, thoroughly ensconced there. That is really, they said Joe Biden, the vice president, is really the president of the United States. Said Obama is just a figurehead. Okay. For the king of the north shall return and shall set forth a multitude greater than the former, and shall certainly come after certain years with a great army and with much riches. Now this identifies Donald Trump as it's the first king of the north was subdued. Then here comes another king of the north. He was subdued by the king of the south. Now here comes another king of the north, and he comes with a great army and with much riches. Now Donald Trump has much riches. He's got the treasure house of the world. He's got the billionaires on Wall Street and Silicon Valley. He's got billionaires that is flocking to back him financially with Donald Trump's billion. So they don't have to call on the government for any money to do anything. They can. This king of the north that's coming down. And in all these things there shall many stand up against the king of the south. And that's what's happened today. Not only the United States, now the kingdoms of the world are standing up against the king of the south. And the king of the south only has two more months to reign. And then he's forever through. They say his dynasty and his empire is forever through. Along with the Mr. Babylon woman that was riding the beast, that was controlling the beast, Hillary Clinton. They say her and Bill Clinton, they're forever through. Obama's forever through. Fulfilling the prophecies here in Revelation where it says that these 10 horns that are on this beast, which represents the New World Order, which represents Obama and his minions for New World Dominance, said these 10 horns that represents the governmental body of this here beast, which is our lawmakers here at the Congress and the Senate there in Washington, D.C. They represent these 10 horns that turn on this woman and eat her flesh and burn her with fire, Mr. Babylon, and forever destroy her off the face of the earth. Well, that's who Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton represent. Whenever they lost the election, when Hillary Clinton lost the election, they said, this is the end of the Clintons. They're forever true. And another person wrote a journal and said, the curse of Jezebel has finally fallen off of the United States. It has been lifted with the defeat of Hillary Clinton. Okay. And in those times, there shall many stand up against the king of the south. Okay, who's this many? all the nations of the world, all the free nations of the world that wants to be free, they're standing up against the King of the South, Obama, and the Quran, and the Muslims, and they're going to make them flee back to where they came from. And even in Europe, this is going on in Europe too. They're going to drive them back out of their own land, back to where they came from. And if they're not content with that, then they're going to be destroyed off the face of the earth. Because they represent a false religion. They have a culture that they've developed, but that's all. They don't have they're a false religion that they try to develop with that Quran and so forth. But it's a false religion. So it says there in Daniel 11, once again, I'll read to you verse 14, and in those times there shall many stand up against the King of the South, also the robbers of thy people shall exalt themselves to establish the vision, but they shall fall. So who are the robbers of the people today? The Hillary Clinton, 25 years in the direct eye of the politics of running, having influence to run not only the United States, but this world. Her and her husband, Bill Clinton, the former president of the United States. And they're called the robbers of the people here in Daniel 11, 14. He says, they shall exalt themselves to establish the vision, but they shall fall, and they have fallen. This November the 8th, they fell of 2016, they fell. So the king of the north shall come and cast up a mountain and take the most fenced cities, and the arms of the south shall not withstand, and neither his chosen people, neither shall there be any strength to withstand. But he that cometh against him shall do according unto his own will, and none shall stand before him. And he shall stand in a glorious land, which by his hand shall be consumed. He shall also set his face to enter with the strength of his whole kingdom, and upright ones with him. Thus shall he do, and he shall give him the daughter of women, corrupting her, but she shall not stand on his side, neither be for him. After this shall he turn his face unto the isles. Okay, the landlocked nations, what they call island nations, that are out in the middle of the water, and shall take many, but a prince for his own behalf shall cause the reproach offered by him to cease. Without his own reproach, he shall cause it to turn upon him. Then he shall turn his face toward the fort of his own land, but he shall stumble and fall and not be found. V.T. Hardiff wrote this track, War News Forecast, and other tracks during World War II. And he said Hitler is the one there in Nahum chapters 1, 2, and 3 that stumbled in his walk when he tried to conquer the world and rule the world. Said he stumbled in his walk, so that was Hitler. Said this war is not over yet. Said that it is yet to have a fulfillment in the end time. This is a two-part situation. Hitler is a type of stumbling in his walk. But somebody's going to come in the last days that's also going to seek to rule the world, like Hitler did. And lo and behold, they're calling Obama, Donald Trump, Hitler. And all the time, Obama's fulfilling the role of antitypical Hitler, of seeking to rule and dominate the whole world. He tried this for 8 years, and it didn't work. So the one that's going to rule the whole world is going to be Donald Trump. And he's going to rule the physical nations as they are separated and individual nations has their own autonomy and government under themselves. He's going to rule over all of them. But when Yahweh sets up his kingdom, which he's sitting up right now with Elijah David, when we come forth and the 144,000 come forth, then they're going to rule over all of these independent nations that Donald Trump has set free to have their own peaceful ruling governments independently of other nations. And then that's when the kingdom of heaven is going to go and have a revival reformation among these nations that have been set free. We're going to have freedom now to go among all the nations and do a revival reformation and bring out the true believing Christians, the remnant, out of those nations. That's what's shaping up, folks. That's what's shaping up. All right, now, it says in Daniel 11:20, then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom. But within a few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle. Now this is the type. If this took place in the time of the first century when Yahshua was upon the earth, you had a king, Caesar. And I believe it was one of the Caesars that put a tax upon all the people. Because when Yahshua was born, yeah, this was Caesar. I mean, when Yahshua was born, it says Joseph, his stepfather, took the mother Mary, and they had to go up to Jerusalem to pay their taxes. And that was once a year. Everybody in the outlying countries had to go up to Jerusalem to pay the tax. When was that? What time of year was that? That was at the Feast of Tabernacles. In the second day of the Feast of Tabernacles, or the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, or that was in the seventh month, when they had to go up to pay their taxes. That was at the end of the harvest year for Israel. That was when they brought in their crops and sold their crops and got the money. That's when Caesar said, you got to come to Jerusalem now, pay taxes on everything that you have had your gain from this year. So Joseph went with Mother Mary up to Jerusalem to pay the taxes along with everybody else there in the seventh month in the fall of the year at the end of the Jewish harvest. And lo and behold, Yahshua was born on the 16th day, the second day of the Feast of Tabernacles, which was on the 16th day of the seventh month. He was born. Okay, do you get it? That was the year that Caesar raised the taxes, the year that Yahshua was born. That he was actually before he was born. It was during that year that he was conceived. Okay? And so Caesar made a decree, said, then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom. And who did they say Obama did when he got in? Said he raised taxes higher than anybody, any president before him ever. And then he became the biggest spender of the treasury, adding double the deficit of the United States from $10 trillion to $20 trillion. And he gave it all that money to his Muslim cronies. They all absorbed it all during that 8 years that Obama was in office. So he spent $1 trillion a year without any authority from Congress. But he did it by the stroke of the pen. And he completely bankrupted the United States. And now Donald Trump is going to come in and he's rescuing the whole mess. All right. He says, then shall this here antitypical Caesar, Obama, stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom, but within a few days he shall be destroyed, neither in anger nor in battle, but by election. This is Obama is being destroyed by election, because it said Donald Trump can nullify every one of his executive orders that he put in operation by executive order. It says the president, by the stroke of the pen, he can completely negate every one of those. And Obama did thousands of those injections, hundreds of them, with a stroke of the pen by executive order. Said the president, incoming president, can negate every one of those with just the stroke of the pen. Then he can go back over those orders and see which ones that are worthy to reinstate if he wants to. But Donald Trump's not going to reinstate none of them. Because Obama, every executive order he made was to tear down, destroy America and the people. All right, now it says here in Daniel 11:21, and in his estate shall stand up a vile person, unto whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom. Okay. But he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. Well, we know this is what happened. The pagan Rome, they came into the church of the apostles, the Mount Zion, back then that the apostles were put in charge of. And after the apostles died, the king of pagan Rome, they went and infiltrated the Christian church, what we call the Christian church, the apostolic church, and they obtained the kingdom by flattery. What kingdom? The kingdom of heaven. They invaded the kingdom of heaven. Pagan Rome didn't attack. That fourth beast that Daniel saw in vision, that nondescript beast representing pagan Rome at the cross. So he came in by flatteries and obtained the kingdom. And with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him and shall become, yea, as a prince of the covenant. So, who's the prince of the covenant? The prophet of the kingdom of Israel. The prophet of the church of Israel is the prince of the covenant. I don't care how you measure it. The everlasting covenant that is made with Israel. He's the prince of the covenant. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. He shall enter peaceably even upon the fattest places of the province, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his fathers' fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil, and riches, yea, he shall forecast his devices against the stronghold, even for a time. And he shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army. And the king of the south shall stir up to battle with a very great and mighty army. But he shall not stand, for they shall forecast devices against him. Now I'm reading to you about the type. Daniel saw this as a prophecy that applied to the church back in the first century with pagan Rome. And who was the king of the south back then? Those four kings that took the place, those four generals that took the place of Alexander and divided the land up into four different segments. After Alexander the Great was killed, the Grecian king that overthrew the whole world. Well, when he died, four generals split up the land in four parts. The fourth part was split up for the Arabs south of the Mediterranean in Africa, where Libya now stands today, and Ethiopia. That's where the king of the south was an Arab. He took over that fourth kingdom. Well, this is the one we're talking about right here. Yea, they that feed of the portion of his meat shall destroy him, and his army shall overflow, and many shall fall down, slain. And both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief. The king of the north and the king of the south, pagan Rome, Catholic. And now this has a twofold application. I'm reading to you the type and the prophecy. But it's going to be duplicated, and it's being duplicated right now in these last days. Exactly. We have that same conflict going on right now between the king of the north and the king of the south. But in this case, you're going to find out that there's two kings of the north and only one king of the south. And it's that second king of the north that comes down with that king of the north that comes out of the north in heaven, there in Ezekiel 1:26, which is the Son of Man, Yahshua. He comes like a whirlwind out of the north. Okay, it said, and both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table, but it shall not prosper, for yet the end shall be at the time appointed. Then shall he return into his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the holy covenant, and he shall do exploits and return unto his own land. At the time appointed, he shall return and come toward the south, but it shall not be as the former or as the latter. For the ships of Chittim shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the holy covenant. So shall he do, he shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the holy covenant. Okay, the holy covenant is the covenant that governs Jerusalem, which is the everlasting covenant that Moses had enjoined unto Israel back in Exodus 24:8. He says that blood of the animal, he ratified that book of the covenant called the Everlasting Covenant with Israel forever, carried down to the end of time. This is what we're talking about, this holy covenant. Daniel 11:31. An arm shall stand on his part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of the strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. What is that abomination that maketh desolate? That's the catechism of the Catholic Church. That's the Quran of the Muslim Church. Okay? The Sharia law. And such, verse 32, and such as do wickedly against the covenant, the holy covenant that was enjoined unto Israel, as an everlasting covenant, and is also for anyone else that wants to lay a hold of it, that they have to join the body of Israel to lay a hold of it. They're the stranger within your gate, Isaiah 56. The whole chapter talks about that. The stranger and the eunuch that lays a hold of this everlasting covenant shall receive the same blessings that Israel is receiving of. Shall he corrupt by flatteries? Verse 32 of Daniel 11. And such as do wickedly against the covenant, and we know the Catholic Church has done wickedly, the King of the North against the covenant. We know that the Quran, the Muslims have done wickedly against the covenant, shall be corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their Elohim, their Yahweh, shall be strong and do exploits. Now, Donald Trump has been converted to Judo or Christian religion. That happened with his daughter that had married a Judean man. He's a Jew, and Donald Trump has been studying with them, and he has accepted the Sabbath, the feast days, and he's accepted the laws of the Judeo religion. So, this is who we're talking about right here. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flattery. But the people that do know their Elohim shall be strong and do exploit. So Donald Trump, he's not doing wickedly against the everlasting covenant. Matter of fact, he's addressing it and laying a hold of it. All right? Verse 33, and they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall be hoping with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. Okay, did you get that? Now I'm going to read that verse 33 through 35 again. It says, verse 32 says, and such as do wickedly against the covenant, which is the Obama administration, the Muslim, and the Catholic administration, the catechism, represented by Joe Biden, the vice president, the Quran is represented by Obama, the president, and Donald Trump, represents the Bible, the King James Bible. So you got those three books that are in contest against each other right now. By three different people. Alright? The Quran says we're going to win out, and the Catechism says we're going to win out, and the Book of the Law of Moses, and it found the King James Bible, says we're going to win out. And it's backed by all the evangelicals of the world, first and foremost. And so, in verse 33 of Daniel 11, it says, and they that understand among the people shall instruct many. Okay? I'm one of those that understand among the people. Yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil many days. So this is in the type. This is what happened. And from the first through the fifth century in the type, at the beginning of the New Testament. This means fulfillment, and it's also going to meet its fulfillment, and has already partially met its fulfillment right now in the end time. But look at verse 34. Now when they shall fall, they shall be hoping with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flattery. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge and to make them white, even unto the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. Now, did you get this? And some of them of understanding shall fall. See, some, not all. Some of them of understanding shall to try them and to purge and to make them white. This is revival and reformation among Yahweh's kingdom. And Yahweh's kingdom, he's got to purge his kingdom. And he's got to try some of the leaders of this everlasting kingdom of David to get them to purge them, so he can come forth with a remnant of pure and white people, 100% free from sin, having come through the judgment of the atonement. This is how it is accomplished, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. So we still got the time appointed for this purified kingdom to come forth out of the Adventist Church. That's 144,000, and stand with the Lamb upon Mount Zion in Revelation 14:1-5, and with the house of David. That's found in Zechariah 12, I believe. The whole book of Zechariah talks about this. Prophecy of a willful king. Now we're going to verse 36 of Daniel 11. And the king shall do according unto his will, and he shall exalt himself. Now Obama certainly has done according to his will. He's been unopposed by the Congress and the Senate. He don't have no opposition. He hadn't had no opposition. And he shall magnify himself above every god, even the Elohim of heaven, even the God of the saints. He's exalted himself above, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, against the Yahweh of these here pagan gods here on earth, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. So Obama's been blaspheming heaven for 8 years, but he's brought indignation upon the nation, not only the United States, but upon the nation. But he's going to do this until the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done, and that indignation has been accomplished by the overthrow of this Obama, the king of modern-day wicked Babylon. His time is up, the January 20th. That's when this indignation will be accomplished. Neither shall he reward the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any Elohim, for he shall magnify himself above all. Okay, we know that Obama certainly don't care anything about women. Because his wife is nothing but a man anyway. Michelle Obama, she's just a man. She's a transvestite. And that's been proven. That's already been proven. And I've already seen the evidence of it, how they proved it with pictures on the YouTube. And I mean, authentically proved it, that she was nothing but a man. So he don't have no he don't have no desire for women, and his two daughters are just adopted. They can look like Obama had two daughters by Michelle Obama. Verse 38. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces. Okay. Now what does it mean, the God of forces? It means the one in charge of the wealth of these wicked nations. And a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Where did he get all that gold and silver and precious things? He got it from this God of forces. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God. What's that strange God? That's Allah. That's the female goddess. That's the god of the Muslim religion. That's the god of the Quran. It's a female goddess. And it's a black one. And that female goddess is black. You just go back to the Egyptian and Babylon history and read about the occult, how they got started there in Babylon. You'll find out that that's where this theory came from and where this was born. Whom he shall acknowledge, or thus shall he do in his most stronghold with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. Not only has he divided the United States for gain, but he's divided the land of Israel for gain. I mean, the land that belongs to Israel, he divided all of that over there since Obama's been in charge for 8 years. He's got Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan. He's got Iran, and he's got Pakistan, and he's got Syria, and he's got all of those nations that's circling Israel. He's got them all circling Israel. He's got them all against each other and against Israel. And so it says he's divided the land for gain. And who ended up with the gain? Obama. He ended up with not even only the land of Israel, but also parts of the lands of Africa. Libya, Ethiopia, all those northern lands clear to the Ivory Coast, to the west of Africa, he's taken over. Okay, and at the time of the end shall the king of the south, Obama, Quran, Muslim, Arab, push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariot, and with horsemen, and with many ships, and he shall enter into the country, and shall overflow and pass over. Well, Russia just sent many warships into the Mediterranean on the coast there of Syria. They're in the north of Israel. He's helping out the king of the north. All right. And he shall also enter also into the glorious land, that's the land of Israel, Jerusalem, and many countries shall be overthrown. Well, many countries in the land of Israel, in the glorious land, has been overthrown. Iraq, Iran, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, and Yemen, South Yemen, and Syria, and Lebanon, and all of that. Been overthrown by this king of the south, Obama. But these shall escape out of his hand. Even Edom and Moab. And Edom and Moab are the descendants of the Hebrew. They were the nephew to Abraham, a Hebrew. A Lot. This is where Edom and Moab came from the descendants of Lot, which was a nephew of Abraham, a Hebrew, that come out of Ur of the Chaldees to begin with. And settle in the land of Israel. So even they are going to escape out of his hand. And the chief of the children of Ammon. And he shall stretch forth his hand also upon the country. And the land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and of silver. And over all the precious things of Egypt. And the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. And that's just what I just got through telling you. Obama's taken over Egypt, Ethiopia, and the Libyans. He overthrew the Libyans by killing the president, Gaddafi. He overthrew Egypt by driving out the king, Mubarak. And he's taken over Ethiopia, which is all northern provinces of Africa. Alright, he said, and out of the north shall trouble him. Now you get this? Verse 44, but tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Okay, who is this north? Donald Trump is out of the north. And who is this out of the east? Donald Trump's allies. They're in the east. That is allied with him against this king of the south, Obama. Okay. And out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to take away many. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his fathers between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. So Obama has sought to sit his tabernacle there in Jerusalem. And that's in the glorious holy mountain, which is Mount Zion in Jerusalem. David's King of Palace ground, where that Dome of the Rock is at, where the Arabs claim that this Dome of the Rock belongs to them, they're up on the King of Palace ground where David's sepulcher is at. They're saying, that's ours. No, that David's sepulcher represents Jerusalem's capital there, and that's where the temple is going to be rebuilt, the third temple. He shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Yeah, he's come to his end, and there ain't going to be nobody on earth to help him. None of these kings that he's made alliances with, that Obama made alliances with, is going to help him. Okay, this is the end of Daniel 11. We know Daniel 12 says, Verse 1 says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble. This is right here on us right now, such as never was since there was a nation, even at that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. When this king of the south has been vanquished, and he's forever done away with, that's when the great time of trouble is going to start. That's when his followers are going to rise up and have, that's what they're doing right now. They've got George Soros that is fomenting terrorism. The aftermath of the election against Donald Trump, he's fomenting in all of our cities across America. He's fomenting that. And so he says that's what's going to start the great time of trouble like there never was since there was a nation. George Soros and his colleagues are fomenting this terrorism in all of these nations that are breaking away from the beast and want to form their own independent government and be a copycat of Donald Trump and his new government. This is what George Soros and his gang of hoodlums are forming terrorism and financing and organizing terrorism against all of these nations that wants to break away from the beast. Okay, so it says in Daniel 12, verse 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise of all these that are resurrected now shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So you're going to have a resurrection, special resurrection. You're going to have a resurrection of the righteous and the unrighteous in this special resurrection when this time of trouble starts. That's when this is going to happen. And it says many are going to that be wise that of these resurrected are going to go to work in the kingdom, turning many people to righteousness because of the miracle of their being resurrected and appearing before them and identifying themselves as saints of old. Okay, folks, we've pretty well taken up this hour. We're going to have to get into this here Wikipedia on Silas's campaign here in our next study. When he sought to unify all the nations and caused peace to reign before all the nations back then. That's why he's called King of the Kings, and he was even adopted into the Jews as a Messiah, and he's the only outsider that the Jews have ever recognized as one of them, being an insider. This brings the close. Let's let this our contest at the 11th hour. Call is number 11. Click on the audio archives. Hear this message more. Let us close now with a song. Let the heavenly light shine through by Elijah Davis. Well, you would not have known about a wonderful Yah if He hadn't created you. And you would not have known about a fresh creation of the Lord. So bring the heavenly light, remember to bring, let the heavenly light shine through. Yah will bless you when it comes again. We'll have a heavenly home for you. Let the heavenly light shine through. Let the heavenly light shine through. And Yahweh is mercy when it comes to them, but I have a heavenly home for you. There would not have been a creation of earth if Yah had not come down. He spoke the word of creation here in the world, but it's been in the ground. There He spoke their word in the light of I'm gonna have a